Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Andrew Hailed.
Side of it, and most people figured out most of the items, and so we brought it home, got it all packed away, and we brought some candy that was left over. From that party yesterday, we took it downstairs so folks could enjoy it, and somebody found a little red X in the midst of that candy. So somebody almost walked home with this, so I'm sorry you missed out on the letter X, but I'm taking it home. It's part of our alphabet, so can't get rid of that. So over the last 2 weeks, we've explored this idea of Christmas. You know, it's Christmas time of year, and so we're exploring that. And so Brock talked about the thrill of hope. And Quentin, if you'll throw that first slide up there, that'll be awesome. And the idea of hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation, or to want something to happen or to be true. And he talked about how God delivered and God delivers on his promises to his people. And he promised a savior over and over for 4,000 years, and then all of a sudden, nothing. For 400 years, there was nothing from God. And so the people then had a choice. They could either trust in the promises that God had continuously fulfilled and that he would continue to honor those and be faithful, or they could choose to go their own way, do their own thing, you know, whatever they chose to do. And I would argue with that. Doing that would be becoming devoid of hope. So they could go on as they wish. And then last week, we had Aaron Vogel from New Orleans. He came and talked about the idea that God is still working, that God is still present, that God is still telling the same story that he always has been since before the beginning of time. And before the beginning of time, God has been sitting on the throne. And God has been winning and is still winning in this world, even in the midst of everything we know is going wrong, and either in our lives or out in the world. And the idea that God is faithful. And because God is faithful, we are reminded that Jesus is not just a story. He's not just a fantasy, that he is our Savior and that we have a need for a Savior. And so that's where I want to unwrap this morning a little bit more, is this idea of remembering that God is faithful. And we have a God who, with all his heart, with all his strength, with all his might, wants to be with us, and capital W-I-T-H. He wants to be with us. So he could simply do away with the law. He could choose to do away with sin. He could forget about it. He could change the way he created everything in this world, the ways that he created it. He could just snap his fingers, and he could change it. He could be with us. But we have a God who knows that he has something better. We have a God who knows that the way he has made this is the best way. And we might not understand that. We might not get why would God make it this way. And because God knows he has something better, he gives us an opportunity to respond to him. He gives us an opportunity to remember that he is faithful. So a few weeks ago, I went up to Marion for a campus life event. We joined in with a couple different campus lives in the area. And there was a speaker there, and he was a former Super Bowl champion, New York Giants player, and he traveled all the way from New Jersey to come and speak for just a couple minutes. And he told us the number one thing that he misses from playing football in the NFL was being in that huddle of circling up with his teammates that they have put blood, sweat, and tears out on the field together, and they circle it up, and they listen to the quarterback, and the quarterback relays the play from the sideline. And then he always said, "Are you ready?" And so then everybody in that huddle, I won't yell too loud here, everybody together would yell, "Break." So the quarterback would relay the play, and then he would say to everyone in that circle, "Are you ready?" So I need everybody to join me here. "Are you ready? Break." We'll work on it. Maybe later. So Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." So a question I wanted to throw out at you, and you don't have to answer out loud, but what do we around this world all have in common with every generation before us? What does everybody in this room have in common with the generation that came before them? I would argue that the answer to that question is God has called every single generation to follow him, to choose to love him. So speaking from God's perspective here, follow me. That's all I ask. Follow me. And then the way that you can love me back is you do what I say. Because what I have to say is the best thing for you. But because sin is in the world, because we have that thing that we call sin, we might start to become distracted. We start to think, ooh, I like that. That's cool. Yeah. Or we even might just stop following Jesus because it becomes too hard. How does that make any sense, God? Why would you design this way? Why would you allow this to happen to me or to that person that I love? Why would pain be okay with you? Why would you make the world this way? Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be easier if we did it this other way? And so what we're doing when we're saying those things is we're telling God, we want you to prove yourself. God, prove yourself to me. Explain yourself. Give me an answer. I want it now. Why? What the heck? And God comes back with a simple answer. He says, follow me. In the book of Isaiah, the kingdom of Syria and Israel, the northern region of the Israelite kingdom, have come together and they're wanting to wage war on the southern kingdom within Israel, and that's Judah. And so the kingdom of Judah has a king by the name of King Ahaz. And so Ahaz and his people get wind that these two nations are wanting to go to war with them, and they're scared. They're shaking in their boots. But God is with them. And God sends the prophet Isaiah to speak to King Ahaz to tell him to not be afraid. Don't be frightened. God is with you. And God follows up Isaiah's words with, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask and I will not put the Lord to the test. And at first glance, that seems like a fantastic response. You don't test God. You don't question God. You don't question his authority. But if you look into it a little bit deeper, Ahaz's response is a fearful one. Because as you look at the context, you begin to understand that kings, you know, they start to worry, they start to figure out, okay, what deals can I make with these other places so maybe we don't go to war. So he's not willing to trust God to deliver him. He said, God, I got this. I'm figuring this out. I don't need you. I don't want you to be and get involved in this. I've got this. I'm handling Judah. I'm taking care of that which is my own. And so Isaiah, God's prophet, responds and he says, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Isaiah goes on to describe what Emmanuel will do and how God will carry out his promises. But Ahaz says, I reject your offer, God. And so God comes back with, well then, I'm going to show you a sign you wouldn't even believe. And here's what's coming. So we know the name Emmanuel means God is with us. And as we know from what Aaron spoke about last week, we know that God is a good God. He wants what is best. He wants to be with us, capital W-I-T-H. And so he has worked out a way within the confines of his own creation to redeem that which is separate from him, to redeem that which has chosen to reject him. So we'll turn with the Christmas story here, Matthew 1, 18 to 25, if you want to follow along. And we'll pick up in verse 18. And we read, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to his son, and he called his name Jesus. So we see again the use of the name Emmanuel, God with us. But what we also see in this passage is the passing on of faithfulness. Joseph wasn't going to immediately abandon or cast out Mary, but he was going to leave her as soon as would be permissible in the law, because from his point of view, she had been unfaithful. And so God sends an angel to intervene and remind Joseph to be faithful, to keep the covenant that he had made with Mary, because she herself had not broken that covenant with him. The Holy Spirit had caused Mary to become with child, not unfaithfulness. And as Brock laid out 2 weeks ago, Mary was chosen because of her faithfulness to God, because she was so devoted to him. Deuteronomy 7:9 reads, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." So God was extending to Joseph an opportunity. He was extending to Joseph an opportunity to remain faithful, to keep his covenant. Follow me. Do we have any Lion King fans in the house? Three, great. Well, I'll slip past that then. Have you heard they're making another one? They're making a live action one? Apparently Alyssa didn't, but yeah. We'll see how it is, I don't know. They do have the same, the guy, I can't think of his name, the guy that played Mufasa. He's gonna be back, so he's playing Mufasa, so you got that at least. I don't know why they don't just use the original audio, make him work again, but. So, well, one of the most memorable scenes in the movie is Simba, who is, if you haven't seen the movie, he is a young lion and the son of the murdered Mufasa, who is the Lion King. And Simba is out doing his thing, and he meets Rafiki, who is a monkey, kind of like a sage or a wise counsel for Mufasa. And he meets Rafiki, and Rafiki wins Simba's trust, and if you've seen the movie, you know it's in a very unique way. But after this meeting, Rafiki is determined to convince Simba to return home. He's determined to convince Simba to do that which he is called to do, to return home and to recognize that the spirit of Mufasa that Simba is out seeking lives inside of Simba. So if you play that clip.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me.
Remember.
Father.
Remember.
Remember. So anytime I heard the word remember, no matter the context, I think of this scene every time. So if you ever are talking to me and you say the word, I'm probably picturing this. I might hear what you say, I don't know. But that's how my brain works. So, but Mufasa wants Simba to remember is who he is. To remember who Simba is. To remember his identity. To remember where he comes from. To remember to be faithful to the example his father set before him. And all of us have people in our lives that we rely on as an example of how to be who we are. Maybe we have a father or a father figure, a mother figure, a sibling, friends, people who we could follow because we trusted them. But many of us have had people in our lives who we have thought of as an example, somebody we could trust. And yet that person dinged us, they hurt us. They maybe even left our lives and never came back. And when that happens, maybe you can picture this, we're left standing in the middle of the road late at night under a street lamp and it's pouring down rain and we have no idea who we are, where to go, or maybe even what to do. But what I want to contend here is that we have a God who is good. We have a God who wants what is best for us. We have a God who wants to be with us, W-I-T-H, who wants nothing more than to redeem us because his pursuit of us is relentless. We have a God who is faithful. He tells us in Jeremiah 7:23, but this command I gave them, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I command you that it may be well with you. And so the God that I know desires to be with us, capital W-I-T-H. He desires to be with us so much that he designed the world for us to be in true relationship with him. He designed us to be reliant on one another. He designed us to be reliant on ultimately on himself. And he desires to be with us so much that he figured out a way to make it happen when we had already separated ourselves from him with our sin. We have a God who is faithful. And we see right before Jesus goes to the cross and he goes off to pray alone with his father. And God says to him, son, it's time for you to go die on that cross. And Jesus comes back. But dad, is there any other way we can do this? Nevertheless, I'll do it, dad. I'm ready. You see, Jesus' only concern was separation from his father. He wasn't doubting that God would come through. He didn't think that God would forget about him, that he would walk away. Because he knew, he believed, he understood with everything that was a part of him that God has always been and will forever be faithful. And we see the way Jesus loved God back here was by doing what he said, just as we're called to do, by following him. And I'm not going to stand up here and try and pretend that each of you aren't facing or experiencing trouble or trauma or something that has just not been good. But I don't want us to leave here today as putting on our lips the statement, God is faithful, without believing it. And as I've experienced things, as I've gone through things, as I've figured out some of the hardships that we have faced, what I do know is this, that I've walked through these things, that I've learned two things. I learned to keep my eyes on Jesus, and I learned to remember that he is faithful. And doesn't mean that I remember that every day, every moment. I forget it regularly even. But if I keep going back to those things, I can know that I have a God who is good, and I have a God who is faithful. And part of the reason I can also believe that is because we have a God who's not like us. He's not constrained or limited in the ways that we are. He's different. And we have a God who is waiting. He desires to be with you, capital W-I-T-H. He is faithful. And in the midst of what we're going through, in the midst of what we're facing, in the midst of the hardship, of the pain, and the sin that we're dealing with, that we're facing, that we're experiencing, that we're doing, he says to us, follow me. Let's pray. God, we're here this morning. We're gathered. We're together. We're worshiping. We're doing that in different ways. It looks different. It looks different for each and every one of us. But may we remember as we walk out of this room with the different people we came with, we can remember and know that you are good, that you are faithful, that your response to us is follow me. As we learn to trust you more, as we learn to bring to you our trouble, as we learn to bring to you that which we are struggling with, as we enter into this time of celebration, of Jesus' birth, of remembering the reason for the season. God, for some people, it's a difficult time. It's a time of loneliness. It's a time of lack of family. It's a time of lack of somebody to trust or to lean on or to turn to. Give us wisdom to know who those people are, to reach out, to not determine their response before we even ask. So God, as we get to enjoy a meal downstairs, as we get to enjoy the rest of today, as we go into this celebration again of time to celebrate, to be with family or friends, to give gifts, to receive gifts, to be mindful of that which is given. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the tomb and that it is empty. And there's so much more to the Christmas story than what we make it out to be. God, thank you that you're faithful. May we remember that as we go through the next few weeks and into a new year. God, we love you. Amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.